It's our number. As you know, there's a day of action today from the Irish Congress of Trade Unions to highlight the situation of cutbacks and the general, well, situation that we're in. I wonder if our old friend Stephen Kieran from Fianna Fáil head office in Ballinaclash is going to take part in these today. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Declan. No, I'm working away hard trying to earn pay some taxes to the government. I won't be at the protest.
Ah, really? Do you not have sympathy with what they're trying to achieve?
Well, I mean, as somebody who is a Democrat, I certainly support people's right to protest peacefully. I might not necessarily agree with the reasons, but I would certainly, support their ability to do so. I mean, the anger of people is certainly understood. I mean, anyone involved in politics, no matter what level, all over the country, certainly hears that people are angry and they're afraid. But, I mean, anger isn't necessarily, it isn't a strategy. It's not a plan that's going to get us out of a recession. Colin McCarthy, I think, summed it up earlier this year when he said the government hasn't run out of compassion. It has run out of cash. However, the live register figures that were released about 20 minutes ago show a fall of just over 5,000, which I think is further evidence of stabilisation. The government does have a plan. It is working. We have to tackle the deficit. I mean, we can't continue to spend €5 for every €3 that we raise. So, whether it's the government, the country, or you and me, Declan, you can't continue to spend more money than what we get.
But look at the collateral damage. This is what it's all about, that the people who seem to be paying the price of what happened are the most vulnerable.
Not necessarily, because if you look at the statistics over the boom years, the child benefit increased 8 times the cost, the rate of inflation, pensions 3 times, welfare 3.5 times. People seem to forget that we are in a far, far better place than we were in 1997. I mean, even with the recession, we still have 400,000 more people working than we did previously. We still, I mean, you sometimes think, I think, listen to the national media, that we have 86% unemployment, when the reality is we have 86% employment. There is good things happening there. There is a plan there. But you have to tackle the deficit. We have to get, I think, the banking system working so that the banks can fund themselves, because they are the arteries of the economy.
So how do you answer the headline saying, we'll pick the Irish Daily Mail, human cost of the health cuts, furious HSE slashes €12 million a month in West, but breast cancer patient Katrina is already paying the price. The Irish Daily Mirror, as it's called, sack them. Why are 2/3 of bankers who bankrupted Ireland still in their jobs? And we have the latest book by Shane Ross, and we say, under Fianna Fáil's watch, all this is happening.
Well, it's not just Ireland. I mean, that's also the point of the media. Look at Spain. They have a 20% unemployment problem. This is a worldwide situation. I was at a business conference a couple of weeks ago called the Business Summit, where Eddie Hobbs spoke, and he made a good point. He said Ireland benefits probably 1.5 times more than any other country because of our globalized economy, but we also suffer 1.5% more. And remember, 90% of everything that is produced in this country is exported. Our domestic market of 4 million people isn't enough. But we can't continue to borrow €20 billion of other people's money to fund our services. We have to do it ourselves. And yes, it's painful, but the alternative, I think, would be far, far worse.
So how do we get better value for our money, and how do we get the people who actually need some assistance, that assistance?
Sorry, Declan, please repeat that.
And how do we actually fund the needs of people in the country? We can't sort of say, well, tough, we don't have the money for that, and all these services that you've come to need, perhaps, you're just not going to get them. How do we actually do it and not have the people who didn't contribute to this crisis to stop them maybe suffering from the sins of others?
Well, you create funds by fixing the economy, by putting in place a system where jobs are created. I mean, competitiveness is a key point. I mean, just like you and me, Declan, will probably look for bargains in a shop. People who invest in this country also do this. I mean, last year alone, we had $19 billion in investment in this country. That creates jobs, that creates exports. Those jobs created for the FDI companies or companies that export could create knock-on jobs. They create services like people who sell them computers, sell them breakfast rolls, whatever. We have to fix the economy. That creates the jobs. That then creates the money to do all the things that we need to do.
What do you think of people who are unemployed?
That's a very interesting question. I know quite a few friends who have lost their jobs, and I think it's important that we put in facilities and training. There's nearly 200,000 training posts. You have to give people activation measures. I totally support Minister O'Gree's social employment scheme, because it not only does it give people the dignity of work, it also allows them to work outside the 19 hours and not lose any of the benefits. We have to have a system, we have to have a safety net that looks after people, that gives them training. But on the other hand, we also have to make sure that it isn't fraudulent either.
And what's your gut feeling of fraud within the social welfare system?
Well, I wouldn't have the figures myself. I would just look at, say, what RTE's Primetime reported last year, where they estimated it was 2 to 3 billion. And I think there was a report out in the Irish Times earlier this week where they estimated 1 in 10 claims were incorrect. Some due to the department's own fault themselves, some to do with fraud. I mean, we're talking about a relatively small number. The vast majority of people are genuine people who want to work, and the government has to put in policies to assist them to do this. And by doing that, we have to, as I said, make our country more competitive. I think we also need to look at the public service and seek efficiencies there, because a huge amount of money does go into public and civil servants. The vast majority of them do a good job, but they have to do it in a professional way and also in a cost-effective way, I think, as well.
Do you think we have too many public servants, and do you think the ones we have are paid too much?
Well, if you benchmark them against their international counterparts, yes, probably many are overpaid. I wouldn't think that many of the clerical staff are, but certainly I think there's a lot of people over 50 or 60,000 who wouldn't be earning that money in comparative economies. I mean, you can't have boom time pay rates when we don't have a boom. But likewise, you can't keep cutting people either. I think the better way is to look at more efficiencies, so that if you're paying people a certain salary, you get more out of that. So that doesn't cut their salary, but it also benefits the state as well. And over a period of time, we probably will have some natural wastage.
And do you think Bertie's benchmarking was a mistake?
I think benchmarking itself wasn't a bad idea, but I think benchmarking has to work two ways, in that if the private sector is suffering, that also has to reflect in the public service as well. And yes, I think probably mistakes were made in that the efficiencies that were supposed to go along with benchmarking didn't happen. Everyone got lazy. That shouldn't have happened. But we have to move from where we find ourselves now. And I think the Croke Park Agreement is the basis of that, because it guarantees that people won't have any further salary cuts. That means they know where they are. That means they're confident in spending in the economy. And by doing that, that also creates jobs and supports jobs.
So you won't be out marching today anyway?
Definitely not. I'll be working.
Fair enough. Lucky for you, those who have jobs, I suppose. Thanks very much indeed, Stephen. Good morning to you. Thank you.
Thanks,
that's Stephen Kiernan. And every time Stephen is on, we actually get the word of who is Stephen Kiernan. So I think we might invite him along to our outside broadcast, which is happening on Friday in Rathdrum, because he lives near there. And he is a contributor to all media in Ireland. Radio, television, internet, everywhere. And many people have asked, how does Stephen do it when he has a job? Well, there you go. We'll find out maybe the motivation behind the man at our outside broadcast on Friday. And if you're around the Rathdrum area, drop into us.